have just I've just started the recording. Didn't quite expect Zoom to say hi to us to remind us. I keep forgetting that response, but they've let you know it's been recorded as well. And Rita has asked if we'll be sharing the recording. Yes, I'll give a link out to that after the meeting, or maybe first thing tomorrow morning as I go through the admin of this meeting. You've all received the link and a little bit of background of how we handle this meeting. We are a small group of what we refer to as watchers, summer retreat watchers, and there are six or seven of us attending this as what we refer to as panelists, because it seems to be the easiest and best way that from our running these meetings to handle it. And I've given you a short bio background of where we're coming from. You've received that via email already. But I'd like to give each of our watchers that are here and are part of the panel an opportunity to say hi and introduce themselves as well. And then we will run through a little bit of background of what a Soma retreat is about, and we'll address some of the questions that came up and that you submitted with your registrations. But I'd like to let you know that this is quite an informal kind of meeting. So please feel free to stick your hand up and ask a question as we go. Zoom has a wonderful function. If you look at the bottom right-hand corner or the left-hand corner of your participant box, you will see there is a little blue hand that says raise hand. So feel free to press that and a little blue hand will appear in the corner of your screen. And I will revert to you as soon as I can to respond to whatever question or comment you have. So I'd like to refer to our group of watchers that are here as part of our panel this evening, for them to say hi and introduce myself. I will follow towards the end. Maybe we can start with Rodianne right here next to me, and a short little introduction, saying where you're coming from and background as far as mushrooms are concerned.
Good evening, everybody. As Anton has mentioned, and I introduced myself, I'm Rodianne. Where am I? I'm, as you said, in a little farm in Houdini. I moved here just over a year ago, and yeah, it's been quite interesting getting used to life out here in the farm. But when it comes to mushrooms, been working with him for a little over 10 years, and it's been a very wonderful experience, which leads us to where we are here today, and looking forward to answering some of all of your questions, if any of you have, or maybe some of you are just here to hear what we have to say, and hopefully seeing some of you at a Soma retreat in the near future.
Thank you, Rodi. I'm going to follow through the rest of the group alphabetically. Anthea, good evening.
I can't even swap the spelling of my name around to get away from the A. Hi, everybody. I'm Anthea. I'm also very glad to be here. Soma has been an incredible teacher and healer for me, and really helped me in many more places in my life than I ever imagined when we first found each other. Let's put it that way. Yes, I just look forward to what the evening's going to hold and to sharing. Home for me is on a farm in the winelands between Somerset West and Stellenbosch. I'm usually part of the online watching, so I do it from here, supported by a team of animals as well. And yeah, that's all I have to say for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthea. Hi, Bianca.
Yes, thank you. Hi. Yeah, it's nice to be here again. It's nice to see some familiar faces and some new faces. I'm based in Grotto Bay, and I actually have very little to say. I'm just happy to be here, and yeah, let's see where the evening takes us. So thank you.
Thank you, Bianca. Leon.
Hi, everyone. My name is Leon. I'm based in Stellenbosch. I'm a watcher as well as a junior. I at Somaland helping Monica with the journeys or journeys taking place at Somaland. I've been involved with Soma or Psilocybin for the past year. It's also helped me a lot, and it gives me a sense also of belonging to this community of amazing people, because also to the newcomers, because the fact that you are here tonight says a lot, that the fact that you've got a calling and you're interested or curious about psilocybin. So welcome to all of you, and hope to see you soon online with the journey or even at Somaland with Monica. That's all for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Leon. Appreciate hearing from you as well. Hi, Margie.
Hi, I'm a new watcher and also a journeyer. And it's just the more I go into using mushrooms, the more interested I become. And for me, on an emotional level, it's been amazing in terms of feeling connected and helping me on that score. But on both an emotional and that level, as well as an intellectual level, there's just so many dimensions to it, and I'm just really enjoying the journey and just want to carry on finding out more about the experience. So that's me. So I'm an early watcher, only done one so far, but we'll be continuing with that.
Thank you, Margie. Monica, good evening, Monica. You have a very special guest with you this evening as well. So nice to see Jenny with you too.
I've gate crashed her in here because she didn't go through the proper registration thing. We've been on the road for the last two days. This is Jenny.
Hello, everybody. Nice to say hello.
She'll talk more just now, but she does her own mushroom journeys in Johannesburg and has been doing for quite a long time. And she's visiting with me now this week. So we're having lots of sharing time, and we went off to the spa, the Varenwaterberg Spa, for the last 2 days. And we got back not so long ago. And Jenny came and woke me up because I'd fallen asleep and said, "Aren't you having a meeting this evening?" And I leapt off my bed and I was here in the flesh. And I'm really happy to be here. Jenny, you want to say something?
Yes, I'd like to just say hello to everybody. It's so beautiful to see everyone's faces. Hello to dear Anton and Rodi Ann. And just so lovely to be able to see all these beautiful faces. I'm very low key and under the radar up in Johannesburg. Things are quite different up there. So I keep very low key, but it's wonderful to be here and to hear all of you and to meet all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, Monica, as well. It's wonderful to have both of you here. And wonderful to know that both of you together, because I know how well you get on as well. So what a wonderful time you're having. That is our panel for this evening. We do have another watcher that has joined us, and I would like her to say hi as well, just so that we know that she's here. Yasmin, I'm putting you a little bit on the spot to pull you in. There's no need to do a full introduction if you're not ready for it, but please say hi to the group that has joined us here this evening.
Hi, everybody. I like to call myself an old watcher because I feel like we've been through the mill with this. I just, you know, what tonight was just about me looking for support, you know, like in this community. I've been working with Soma for a while. I hold my own ceremonies and all these new questions have come up. So I like just to explore these questions with the community to see what's out, what's, you know, am I on the right track, and just, you know, and I just love this. The community is just so, you know, we just hold each other so beautifully, and I think I'm just needing that today. So that's why I'm here. Lovely to meet all the new faces, and hello to the oldies.
I hope you'll join
me.
Yasmin.
I didn't.
I hope you will join us often.
Monica?
Never mind.
Yes. I love. But it's so different to this watching as compared to the online.
Exactly.
But let's see where it lands.
Exactly. Keep your heart open. She's not hearing.
Thank you, Yasmin. It really is lovely to have you here and for you to be here for us as well. We appreciate that so much. Maybe starting off in a very easy kind of way is letting this group know what we do as watchers. Maybe that's a starting point that we can step into. I'm working under a large assumption that many of you here do not know what an experience like this is, and it's often we need to step into it carefully to explain with an understanding that you actually don't necessarily know what we're talking about. So when we introduce watchers as watchers, we are the group of people that are present during a SOMO experience, during a SOMO retreat. We are ensuring that the journeyers who are taking the dose of sacred mushrooms, we're ensuring that the physical space in the physical realm is safe, secure, and that you're looked after in that environment. We are not, and in a cliched line that we always use, we are not gurus, we are not shaman, we are no different from you. Our only highlight is that we are typically more experienced in working with mushrooms. Some of us a lot more, such as Monica, especially. And some are new. They step into this process as Margie has, and we learn more how to explore our consciousness and also learn how to walk in two dimensions at the same time, if I could put it that way, and look after the journeyers that are in our care in that physical space, in the physical world, as well as have an awareness of connecting with them in the spirit realm that they walk into. So when we refer to ourselves as watchers, that's what we're doing. We're simply watching to ensure that everything is okay. We're not interfering. We're not helping you unless you need our help. And typically we are normal people that are very experienced in working with sacred mushrooms. And the work that we start doing in a SOMO retreat typically continues as a watcher. We grow into that. We grow into the realization that this journey that often started in a retreat environment is work that with the expansion of our consciousness goes into the greater world around us, and hence we're learning how to work in these two worlds at the same time. I thought I'd step into that for no other reason that it seemed to make sense. I often give an indication of giving an overview of what a SOMO retreat is about, but maybe I have already started down that route. What do you think, Rodianne? Have I kind of covered that, or am I flailing in the wind now?
I don't know. I think we have, by the looks of things, a fair amount of new people. So I think we could actually go ahead and tell people about what a SOMO retreat is all about. So I think you're doing well.
Okay.
Would you like to carry on?
Great.
Well, maybe somebody else would like to say something. And no, don't everybody look at me, mm-hmm. because Anton will naturally revert to me.
There we go.
I can't see anybody now.
There we go.
I'm sorry, he put the email up so I couldn't see anybody. So I was hoping I could see a hint from a watcher and see a reaction on their face and maybe like choose one of you, but I don't know.
So where are we at is to start this meeting off is to give you an overview of what a SOMO retreat and a SOMO experience is about. And when we talk about this, we're very much covering both scenarios of an online experience as well as a physical SOMO retreat. There is often this confusion when we talk about what an online retreat is about. because it does sound like something difficult to get your head around. Typically, the online experience got developed through the lockdown, where people were unable to gather as a group, where a Soma retreat is a group experience, where a group of people gather. Initially, it started at Monica's place, I think about 11 years ago. We referred to that as Somaland. And a group of people join a retreat, which could be anything from 5 people to 25 people. I think I recall the number that Monica has mentioned that has gathered in the past. I think went up to 37 people once. And that's not possible during lockdown. And during lockdown, we got asked, well, I would like to work with psilocybin mushrooms on my own, irrespective of the ability to join a group or not. And that's how this online experience evolved. And the online experience is a little bit longer in that we use the week that's leading up to the event. And there's some people here that have experience with that. Matt, I know you're in the States and you joined us last month. That preparation week of giving advice on what you need to do to prepare your space, what you need to do to ensure that the environment that you're going to be working in is set up correctly. That is part of the advice that's given with the online retreat. We are giving assistance in those that need to work on their own. In other words, they're unable to join a group. They're not close to Cape Town. They haven't been able to hook up with people in Joburg, like Jenny as an example. Or they are experienced and they are willing and wish to work on their own. Margie, you're a good example of that. I always like referring to you because you do have experience of working and journeying with Monica, and then joined us for several online retreats. And now recently you joined Monica in a physical environment as well for the first time as a watcher. Could you give a short overview of what you think is the key differences in an online Soma experience versus a physical Soma experience?
I think the online experience, there's a little bit more freedom of moving around and doing those kind of things. Not that you can move around a lot when you're right in the middle of it, because you can't walk very well under the mushrooms. But I suppose there's a niceness of being in your own space in that. The ones at Somaland, the physical ones at Somaland, there's a connection with the group, which is very, very real and tangible, because you're all there together and there's the fire to go out to. There's more kind of easy discussion with others as you start coming out and you go and have some soup or start talking to the others who are also starting to come down from their journeys. Whereas an online, there's just the evening meeting before you take your sacrament and then again in the morning. And there isn't really that immediate connection except through the WhatsApp, but that's not always very active in the, well, I've found it difficult to engage with the WhatsApp while I'm journeying. I had my daughter watching with me. She would come and stay with me every time I've done an online journey. And I found that particularly nice in a way of connecting with her. She doesn't take any mushrooms, but has done a journey. And there was that connection with her and being able to chat halfway through, which doesn't really work well at Somaland. So those are some of the few differences. I've enjoyed both enormously and found both ways very beneficial. So I think there's not much difference in terms of the benefits of them, but certainly the kind of environment is a bit different.
So
that's a little bit.
to touch on and fill out the information based on your answer. A soma retreat starts with a group of people getting together on a Saturday evening, and the journey or experience part lasts 3 to 4 hours. And after that, Margie did refer to coming out of that journey, having soup around a fire. And then typically what would happen, the journey continues in that you can go and lie down and you can go and sleep, et cetera, et cetera. When you're alone at home and you've worked alone at home, you don't have to create an environment where you are aware of those around you. And hence with the online experience, for those that prefer to be on their own, that are able to be on their own and are not able to join that group, there is this disconnection from the physical group. Margie referred to the WhatsApp group. We have a WhatsApp group for the online experiences, which is set up during the whole week before, which we are then available to share their information for the group to connect as much as what they can. And throughout the night of the experience, that WhatsApp group, this group of experienced watchers, are available in a helpline kind of environment, either to the journeyer or to those that are acting as a companion to the journeyer. So in the case of Margie, who had her daughter with her, the WhatsApp group was or would be available to her should she wish to contact us and say, hi, Margie is acting in a certain way, what should I do? Or she's nauseous, is that normal? And get that advice with an understanding that we have experience, et cetera, et cetera. Yaku, I'm going to jump straight into your question on saying on how important it is to have a journeyer if you are journeying alone at home. We do recommend that if you are working for the first time with mushrooms or have a tendency to be anxious if you are alone at home, to rather join the physical group. Yet I'm going to say and underline, in lockdown, these beautiful experiences of people that joined us from all over the world. We had a lady on the 25th floor in a high rise building in Kuwait. We had I have a soft spot for younger people who find the courage to have journeyed for the first time on their own during lockdown, et cetera, et cetera. So preferable to join the physical group. Yet if you do know yourself and you've worked with psychedelics before, to understand that you don't necessarily need a watcher with you, we can recommend that you have a trusted friend or a family member close by, just so that they can contact us if there are any questions. It's about creating the safe space, the safe zone, where you can let go completely. We spoke about letting go so that your mind can travel to the dimension, or your heart can travel to the dimension where soma takes you, rather than your mind getting in the way and wanting to control and hold you back from where you're going. So that's a rough indication and a rough outline of the difference between an online and a physical retreat. Leon, you also had some experience when you initially joined us, was very much with online experiences, and now you are spending a lot of your time with Monica at Somaland as a watcher. Do you have anything that you'd like to add in the differences?
Maybe just to reiterate what Margie said, is that you have the freedom to express yourself more freely when you're at home. So if there's any serious anger release or sadness, so you have to be a little bit more considerate when you're in a group. But also in a group, you help each other in a way that, you know, not physically, but, you know, it's an energy in the room that one cannot really explain. I don't want to use the word magic, but it's really something quite unique. So you do feel that you support it in a way by the watchers or by fellow journeyers. I wouldn't say the one is better than the others. Like you said as well, Anton, the first, it's nice to do the first journey in a group if you can, if it's possible. So it does help because, you know, everybody is anxious. This is, if it's something new to someone or they've only done it recreationally and now they want to do some serious work, it's normal to feel anxious and scared for the unknown. So we've all been there, but if you know, your desire is sometimes stronger than your fear, and you just go for it. That's it.
Thank you, Leon. Monica, I wasn't sure if you were raising your hand. Yes.
I kind of, things have run ahead now. I wanted to comment on something that had been said earlier on, and now other things have happened in between, but I'll say it anyway. In terms of the whole picture of the whole night, and what prompted me to want to say something is that, Anton, you said that you indicated maybe that the experience after taking the mushrooms is 2 or 3 hours or 3 or 4 hours or something like that. And I really felt that I needed to say it's an all-night experience. It goes on for longer than that because it comes in waves. It takes you away and then you come back and you take it away. Very seldom is it 3 or 4 hours. And it goes through into the early hours of the morning. And so you need to be prepared to surrender to that and not think that you can pack up and go home or finish up at an earlier time. I hate to disagree with Anton, but that is my experience, that it goes on for different amount of time for everyone. And if we just surrender to how it's going, we gain the absolute most that we can. And it begins, first of all, as a very surprising thing. You take, especially if it's the first time, where you take the mushrooms, which are mixed into a liquid with fruit juice and lemon juice, and you wait for a while, and then quite suddenly you're in another place, another dimension, another world, and that can be quite a shock if it's the first time. After the first time and further on after that, you get used to that, to wait for that. And you never know what's going to happen. It's different every time. Everyone has a different experience. And there's nothing to fear other than your own resistance. Because you wouldn't go to the trouble to have an experience like that and then suppress yourself. It's just a pity to do that. I could gabble on forever, but I really would like you all to know how deep this experience is, how long lasting it is, and it even carries on in your inner self in the next few days and weeks and months after journeying, especially the first time.
Thank you, Monica. You know that we have a tendency just to want to sit back and listen to what you have to say.
Oh, we're so very, very valuable.
I had a conversation with somebody earlier this week who was trying to explain to me his experience and the difference between the online and the physical. And he compared it to when lockdown began. He compared it to his kung fu classes, that the kung fu classes were unable to gather in the studio and practice once a week as he did. And they were very grateful for this online experience that came together. And him specifically continued weekly and even more so in an online way of connecting with his kung fu practice, which is quite technical, I understand. Yet once he was able to get back to a physical class and group, he understood that the physical class, the online class, did not give him 100% of everything that he needed. But he also realized that he didn't need to go back to a kung fu class once a week physically anymore. He could step back and work on his own a lot more. with the understanding that he can work on his own, but he does want to go back to that group experience maybe once a month, if that makes sense. So these two areas or locations, if I could put it that way, seem to be finding their way where there is a space for this physical group and there is a space for those that want to work in their own and connect with this digital world. One of the questions that was asked was about location. Soma retreats happen with Monica in Somerset West. At times, Rodianne and myself and various watchers travel around the country on request. And then there are other groups that work with psilocybin mushrooms as well, such as Jenny. And we're happy to refer to people that are working in those areas as well. I think someone asked about Durban. James, thank you again for that reminder about Durban. We haven't traveled to Durban. There's no one that specifically offers Soma retreats in Durban. And I think this is the differentiation that I don't know if it's necessary to be made, but there's an understanding that a Soma retreat is different from a mushroom journey. There's a very specific way that we work with very specific guidelines. It's not complicated. The guidelines are few, but they firm in the way that we work, where we remove ourselves, those hosting the experience, as one of the guidelines, are removing themselves from the process. We're not inserting ourselves in the middle as a guide or as a shaman. And there are various other aspects as well that includes, but we're not familiar of anybody that hosts specifically Soma retreats in Durban. I don't specifically know of anybody that hosts mushroom journeys there either, but now and again, a contact does come up. Jenny, I think I see you waving your hand or not, but if details are required for somewhere else, very often we can refer if someone would like to go to a space where we don't necessarily have a ceremony hosted. Jen?
I just wanted to say that I have got a chap that worked with me for a year, and he is based in Durban. I'm very happy to pass you his number. He's mainly doing very tiny groups or one-on-ones. He hasn't expanded yet, but he takes the work very seriously, and he's a lovely guy. So happy to forward you that.
Thank you. James, if you don't get the details from us during this meeting, please send me a reminder by email, and I'll ensure that you get those details from Jenny.
Cool, yeah, I will do. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. The other way to work is to ask one of us to come to Durban. It's another way of doing things.
It's a nice place.
it's very much how we respond. Monica will tell you very quickly that she has hosted over 350 odd retreats in her space in Somerset West, and every single one has been on request. It's quite magical to quote Leon how things work out. For an event to work on request, and then you open the door and you see who else is going to join. That's how Rodianne and I have hosted ceremonies in Joburg and in the Garden Route. We're asked to be there, and we invite our mailing list to join. And you see who arrives, and you allow the door to open. And this group of people that gets together is not streamlined based on race, color, creed, occupation, anything. It's a very random group of people which the divine brings together. Nick, I see you have your hand up there.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
There we go.
Oh, okay. Just a couple of things. Like, I'm a newbie, but I am a qualified pharmacist, but I'm interested professionally and personally, obviously, in this. And I'd also like to say hello to Anthea. I think we met last weekend. My leg's getting better.
Small world. Glad to hear.
Yeah. But specifically with regard to the other thing is that I don't know how many other people are on the Atlantic seaboard, but the ESCOM are going to do their thing at 8 o'clock, so I'll have to be out of here at 8 because there'll be no power. But the other thing is just you know, what crucial things, what should one bring to the retreat and the kind of format of the retreat? Well, obviously, you need obviously good bedding. I remember, Anthony, remember? I had a problem with bedding. I should have brought better bedding. So I guess that's the same here. Yeah, you've got to be comfortable.
You're based in Cape Town, in the Cape Town surrounds. Yeah.
Key point.
And you're referring to joining Monica in Somerset West.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass over to her so that she can answer that question for you.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
See you on Saturday. Regarding the bedding, we have quite comfortable mattresses.
Oh, wow, great.
Mattresses for everyone. We do have some blankets, but because it's winter, we will be asking for you to bring extra blankets.
Oh, that's great.
And it's you know, it's nice to have your own little blankie and bring that with you and your own pillow. Just for something familiar. But because we have a bigger group than usual, we're not quite sure how we're going to handle that yet. On Saturday, we won't have enough blankets to give everyone. And we definitely want you all to be warm throughout the night. And you will be receiving a series of messages on WhatsApp and maybe a couple by email telling you every single detail. And on WhatsApp, where you will be able to talk with the whole group, you can also answer any other questions that come up. And may I just say something else, Anton? That I wanted to say earlier and didn't, is that what happens between the introduction on the night and the morning meeting around about breakfast time. And a lot happens. It's not just everyone hanging in space. The watchers are all sitting in their respective homes at their computers all night long, looking out to hear from you. So you can contact the watchers throughout the night and they will be there to talk with you. We won't be there with you physically, but you actually don't need us physically. You are perfectly safe always when you're working with mushrooms. But especially if you're alone at home, you might want company. You might have a little panic attack. I remember someone saying, please, someone help me. I'm feeling unhinged. Because it can feel like that. It's so new. And a watcher will be right with you, right to talk with you then. So you're not alone throughout the night until breakfast time. It's up to you, though, to contact us. And the important thing for us is that we don't want to interrupt your journey. That's why we don't contact you. So one of the things that we ask for is every now and then, during the night, send us a little message, a little icon or a little I'm doing okay or something through the night for our sakes so that we know that you're doing all right, because we don't feel that we have the right to interfere and interrupt your journey, which is so sacred. And we will always be there. Any one of us will be there to talk with you. So you will be helped and very well held through the night. As it is when you're journeying in a group, a physical group. Thanks, Anton.
You're welcome, Monica. Just in connection with that physical group, during lockdown or as the lockdown regulations have been lifted, the groups that do gather in Somerset West are still limited to a lesser amount to allow the space around and sufficient space in the ceremony space. So it's normally limited now to about 8 to 10 people. In your own private space, in that journey space, you're welcome to remove the mask. Monica or Leon, you could give, and or Margie, who have been there recently, could give more information on that. My understanding is that you can, you're welcome to remove the mask in your journey space with your own blankets around you, et cetera, et cetera. And then for the rest of the experience, it really is up to each individual and how they want to manage themselves during that process. But the amount of people definitely has been reduced to a responsible group. When regulations lifted to, what was it? Was it level 2 last year in November? Rodianne and I traveled up to Joburg with a team of watchers. Jenny, you were there. Monica, you were there as well. In that instance, we hosted the ceremony in an outdoor space in an outdoor tent, in a Bedouin tent scenario, where we had 22 journeyers in a large 200 square meter space that was under tent. So we do the best that we can to be as responsible as what we can. And in that physical journey space, I was thinking about one or two other points that came up here in the previous questions. Carla, you mentioned about snoring, and that's what I also wanted to touch on. Just trust me, in at Somaliland, we've seen snorers. There's very little to be concerned about. That is managed for in a very personal kind of way. There is space for that. There's spaces to sleep in the back garden once you go into the sleeping part of your journey, if I could put it that way. Monica has permanent tents in her back garden, and there are spaces and other rooms in the house where the space is prepared so that not much disturbance happens amongst each other.
Anton, I think Shirley has a question. There's a little hand there.
Thank you. Shirley. Where
is... I'm certain I didn't put my hand up, but I actually just had the thought, I have a question. So that was quite impressive. I was wondering about dosage and what advice you give people around deciding on what dosage they should take.
Who's going to answer that?
I was just going to say, who's going to answer that? Is there any of our watchers that would like to answer? Otherwise, I'm happy to go ahead.
Yeah, you go first.
Okay.
You again.
The recommended dose for a summer retreat is 5 grams. It's always open to discussion. It's not a fixed rule. If a person comes along and wants to discuss the quantity, especially a reduction, we're open to discuss that. It's your own decision at the end of the day. Yet the 5 gram dosage is the amount that's guaranteed to work. And there's nothing less or more disappointing than wondering if you took too little. So especially when it's your first experience, and Monica has so beautifully described it in the past as a calibration kind of experience, irrespective of your body size, if you're large or small, 5 grams is a dosage that's going to break through the psychedelic barrier, and you're going to be able to make the connection with Soma that you need to. When you follow up that with a second experience, you may want to reduce. Sometimes there's an increased amount, maybe 6 or 7 grams. We do not recommend, and we do not allow in a Soma retreat any longer to take more than 10 grams. But for a first timer, we do recommend a dosage of 5 grams. Does that answer your question, Shirley?
It does. Thanks. Can I ask a follow up? My follow up is like most substances, people have different kinds of obviously experiences, physical, emotional, the whole spectrum. Is it worthwhile, you know, I've only taken minimal mushrooms before in my life, and I haven't got a sense of the, you know, my response to it. Is your recommendation to just jump right into the 5 grams or to have a few lighter experiences before you go there.
Can I speak? Surely it really seems to work the best that you start with 5 grams. And that gives you a very, very full experience. And sometimes people only work with mushrooms once and never again. That's always your choice. But a lot of people keep coming back, some once every 5 years, others every 1 year or every month or two. It's absolutely up to you. We don't chase after you. We don't have a membership that you join. We're just a loose group working together. And if you have that good, strong a dose at the beginning, something sets in your, as Anton mentioned, sets in your head a standard that your brain or your spirit remembers, so that the next time you take mushrooms, you go straight there. So what happens over time is you start with the 5 grams, and as you have a few experiences, in the end, 1 gram is all you need to have a 5 gram experience. Now, if we were in the business of selling mushrooms and making money out of mushrooms, we would keep saying you must take more and more and more to get a bigger experience. But that simply isn't true. It's not how it works. That your body remembers, and when it feels a connection with the mushrooms in a very small dose, like 1 gram, you have an extremely full experience. Every watcher will know that's how it happens. And so the watchers actually have 1 gram. And the number of times I've lost count of watchers saying, Monica, you gave me much more than 1 gram. And I never did. But it feels like they've really gone into a big journey. So that's why we really recommend that you start with a full-on dose, because it's a new experience. This is when you start up. And you want to be able to start on a strong footing and feel safe, because you're in a safe space when there are watchers, whether it's online or in a physical space.
Thank you.
Thank you, Monica. I'm going to go to Nick and followed by Nick West, but I want to add just on to what Monica said as well. What did Monica refer to us as?
Loose watches
or what we are is what we are is simply experience. So when Monica refers to this dosage of 5 grams, it's based on several thousands of people moving through her house over an 11-year period. She has and we have experimented with different doses in the beginning, and we've arrived at this through experience, not through academic reading and deciding this is what someone else says. And that's very important when it comes to a Soma retreat and working with Soma in the way that we do. It is based on experience, and we're open to change always. We're open to learning always, and we're open to grow. So I'm going to move on to Nick. I wanted to add that as well. So, Nick.
Sorry, I don't mean to keep jumping in, but before I get cut off by Eskom, I just wanted to know a couple of things. I know that the numbers are being rearranged. I presume we will be advised when our date is. But also, additionally, and I'm looking at Anthea here, what difference is there with regard to, in a nutshell, comparing it with an ayahuasca appearance with regard to dietary preparation and the effects of the process, which, I'm not wild about with the ayahuasca. Do I need to bring a bucket?
Nick, we do have our own buckets, but maybe Anthea can give you a more complete answer on that. Anthea.
Yeah, hi Nick. The diet I'd recommend to stick to the same, just that the cleaner your body is, the better it is to be able to work with the psilocybin. So stick with the same diet. Psilocybin, it isn't with ayahuasca, your chances of purging, as you discovered, is higher on the 50%. With mushrooms, it isn't usually something that happens, but everybody's different and it can happen. So it's that, again, trusting the medicine and what can happen. It's not as common as what it is with ayahuasca if we make the two comparisons. I can only speak for myself in the two different experiences, and I find that the teachings of the ayahuasca compared to the mushrooms is same but different. It's a little bit like your mother, and then you've got the cousin or the aunt or the uncle. I don't think there's really a sex for the soma that I've experienced. So you're just meeting another great teacher that's going to give you things from a slightly different angle, is I think the best way I can describe it. And my journey, I've found great value in working with both of, well, I work with a few different medicines, but I find them, they are two of my favorites. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's not the vomiting I have a problem with, it's the other side. And that was bothering me last weekend.
Yes, I remember.
On your mind, you know, in your conscience.
But you were okay.
Oh yeah, I was, yeah. No accidents or anything like that. But there was this constant awareness that, you know, maybe, and that kind of distracts you. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, we can never put a stamp of guarantee on anything, but it's less likely. Okay. Yeah, and especially the fasting for the day. So not eating for a longer period in the day also gives your whole digestive is more rested. So, you know, mentally you can sort of know that you're a little bit cleaner in that sense, if we talk biology. And it also is nice because even though you're probably starving by the time it gets time to take sacrament, it really does give a nice bedding for the soma to really work on a clean platform or a clean slate, if I can say it like that.
Okay. Thanks very much for your advice. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Nice to see you again.
Thanks, Anthea. Yeah, I think Monica would like to add something to that.
No. Anthea said what I was going to say right at the end, that we don't have strict rules and strict anything. We just want you to have a good experience. And if you arrive at the journey with a tummy full of supper, mushrooms will sort it out and get rid of it in a bucket very quickly, because and that's a pity for that to happen. There's very little vomiting with mushrooms, unless people have eaten just before they come. Not because the body needs to be prepared. Mushrooms are so powerful that they are not inhibited by the diet. Your experience can be as powerful as if you fast for a week beforehand. It works differently to ayahuasca. I've done a lot of ayahuasca and even more of mushrooms over the last 12 years. And that is one thing I've noticed, is that mushrooms are not, as I said, inhibited by what you've eaten, unless your stomach is very full when you arrive. It's uncomfortable. It just makes sense that you don't eat. And you don't have to fast for long, but at least from 12 o'clock on that day, which is not very long, considering how long some people fast. But otherwise, it's very different to ayahuasca, the preparation.
Thank you, Monica. We're going to speak a little bit later or shortly about medications and the effects of those. Before we go there, Wes, you've been waiting for a while, and Annelie is there as well. Wes, where and what can we cover for you?
Hi, everyone. I hope I'm coming through okay. Hope you can hear me. Since we were talking about dosage, my question was actually about recipe I'll be sitting in the ceremony remotely. So I've grown my own cubenzies. I'm just wondering what else I might need to add to that in order to meet the soma recipe per se, or if there is one. I think in the beginning I heard something about lime juice.
Wes, I think you're based up in the north of the country, if I remember correctly. I may be completely wrong.
I'm in Joburg at the moment, Anton.
Yeah, thank you. There is no two answers to the question. There is no recipe. Okay. We use a mix of a variety of strains, which changes and varies based on what nature provides, and nature being that connection being provided by the grower, similar to yourself, because they are effectively the most important person in this process. And Monica, I know, is going to jump in immediately. I see her hand up. In this instance, you are the grower, having grown your own strain and your own variety. As far as the recipe for mixing and consuming and the preparation, that we will send to you in a suggested way of taking it. And that includes adding a little bit of lemon juice beforehand, maybe taking it with honey water or taking it with fruit juice. It's more about the consumption of the preparation on how you take it.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question?
100%. Thank you.
Perfect. And Monica, please.
Congratulations on your growing.
Thank you.
On your success. Can I ask what strain you're growing?
I've got Golden Teachers.
Okay, then the Golden Teacher is one of the two that we don't ever use.
Oh, really? Okay.
Works really well. It's very popular, and easier to grow, and I think maybe cheaper to buy. But yeah, we stopped using Golden Teacher quite a few years ago, and just in short, it's a mushroom that's very good for having fun with.
Right.
And at trance parties, it gives you a lot of color, a lot of happy, good experiences. But the work that we do, our focus is to go down very deep and to expand in a very deep, profound way, and not to be, what word can I use? It's like being in kindergarten or at university.
Yes.
And we, not that I would dare say that we're at university stage, but we're looking in that direction, is to help everyone who journeys with us to go higher and further. Okay. And as wonderful as Golden Teachers are, they are not ideal for that.
Right.
And you'll find that pretty generally people around the world understand that.
Yes. Okay.
But use your Golden Teacher. Don't give up on that. But all maybe consider growing some other strains. And you can advise on good ones to start with.
Thanks a lot. I look forward to that conversation.
Wes, I have an opportunity to add a little story from our online experiences, where an ex-South African, an expat who left a couple of years ago, moved to New Zealand, and her lockdown project was learning how to grow mushrooms.
Okay.
She couldn't find any in New Zealand. I don't know what strain she grew, but she learned how to grow, and she grew a little quantity and enough to join us for an online experience, which is what she did. It was the first time she'd taken a dosage. So for her, she was flipped around. Matt, who's in the States here, Matt has joined us. We spoke about her being forward in time. She joined the Zoom meeting and started her journey on Sunday morning at 6 o'clock. And her experience had ended at the end of Sunday. Very special to be growing your own mushrooms. Please continue that. Monica uses a variety in Somerset West, a variety of strains. Surely that includes Amazonian, Ecuador, Hawaiian, Thai. There is no set recipe. It does change regularly and consistently as it comes up.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Annelie, good evening. Where are you?
Hi.
Where are you connecting with us from?
Kells River. So very close to Somerset West. So I just worrying a little bit again about the food. I read on the info sort of vegetables and fruit and all of that. I've got a very fast metabolism and I'm slightly stressed to fast from 12. That's like quite long for me. If I don't eat, I get grumpy and my blood sugar falls and I sometimes get nauseous if I do not eat regularly. So if I can stick to, I don't know, fruit or fruit juice, would that be okay? Sort of, I mean, I don't need to eat all the time, but from 12 to 7 is already a stretch for me. So I'm just slightly paranoid about that.
Annelie, we don't have strict rules because everyone is so different. And if that's how it is for you, you eat what you need to. And I'm sure you know how, you just don't want to have a full stomach. That is the thing.
Okay.
But if you're going to be anxious about fasting, don't fast. You don't have to do that. There are people with a much more sensitive digestive system. We're sensitive to that. And that's why we say you are the individual. You can decide for yourself. And you may find that you'll wish that you hadn't done something or you had done something afterwards. And so you learn for yourself how to navigate a mushroom journey. Because it's your specific way that works the best.
Okay, cool. We'll keep it small. Thanks.
Annelie, it's a lesson in learning to listen to yourself, learning to get to know yourself. And maybe this ties in to an extent, or it's my tie in to medications. That's often a question that comes up and something that I'd like to talk about because it was asked again for this meeting is regarding medication and regarding eating. It's doing the best that you can. It's trusting your body that if it says you're thirsty and you really should drink now, then you have some water. Simply because we said to you not to drink if possible beforehand because we're trying to allow you to have the best experience possible. So when we say trying not to drink water for a few hours before, it's so that you're not running up and down to go to the toilet. There's nothing worse than dropping into your journey and oops, I need to get up and I need to go to the toilet. And a watcher will be there to help you and accompany you to the bathroom. So there's that kind of advice. So listening to your body, eat the fruit, drink the water when you need to, and learn to listen to your body in that way. And it's similar with medications, with prescription medications like sleeping pills, with antidepressants. We recommend you stay off them for a day or two before the experience. These medications, these mood altering substances, do dampen the effect of sacred mushrooms, and it does take away from the ability to connect. Yet to give advice to someone and say they have to stop a day or two before is not necessarily either, because we are then reaching a point of taking away the opportunity for you to present the best case or the best that you can do. And if best that you can do is simply not taking it the day before or on the day, that is okay. Mushrooms will do the work, and a dampened sense or a dampened effect doesn't mean a zero effect. It means the work that needs to be done is still going to be done. In general, it's about cleaning your body from as little chemicals as possible. Antihistamines is the same. If you're going to be dealing with allergies throughout the 12 hours,
and you can't breathe.
Then please take the antihistamine. If you've got a headache, the recommendation is to work with a Dispirin. Typically, a Dispirin will take the headache away. But a chronic medication you may have some other ideas about that, and it very much is learning to listen to what is best for you. I think to an extent, there was one point that I did mention was about the medications, and our watchers, we don't like talking about medications. I have to be quite honest. We get a lot of questions, but I am on XYZ or atypical antidepressant, etc. It's important to address the question, but for me, the answer is always going to be the same. In that, a day or two before, try and remove yourself and not take your chronic medication. The change happens afterwards, because whatever experience and connections that happen during your journey may mean that you may find that the choice that you make about taking a chronic medication may change going forward. But that is your choice, and we can give advice from experience, and we can give links to research and all this kind of thing done on various medications and topics. But the answer is always going to be your own. And I finally, Monica sticks her hand up so she can expand on my answer and add something that I'm missing. Monica.
I wanted to add actually to what you said, Anton, that I think is important. One of the things that we honor when working with mushrooms is individuality. And experiencing mushrooms, especially if it's something you do more than once and regularly, is your own individuality begins to blossom. That's why we don't want to stand up and shake our finger and say, you do this and you do that, and this is what will happen. And because everyone is completely different. There never was another you. And we want to leave the door wide open for the individuality that is you to blossom. There are certain things that block that. So if you arrived inebriated, or if you arrived having smoking a dacha all day, or had heavy medication, the real you is already suppressed when you start. And Anton mentioned this, and I want to stress it because it's important. You know, the work will happen anyway. You may not then experience very much in the journey. And you'll think, well, why is, you see, if you add a physical journey, you'll see other people are having profound experiences and nothing is happening for you. Yes, because it's being suppressed by other things that you have taken. But the good news is that the work happens anyway. It goes below the radar and it happens anyway. Mushrooms are so powerful. You know, I'm sure you know this. There are mushrooms that eat plastic. They use mushrooms where there's been radiation poisoning of the soil to clean up the soil. There's no end to what mushrooms can do with us. They work with us, and they are not scared of what we may put into our digestive system or into our bloodstreams with medication. But, you know, to come to a mushroom journey and see everyone else having an amazing or very interesting time, and you sit there and it feels like nothing is happening, it's very disappointing. And so we want you to not be disappointed. It matters to us so much that you have the best possible experience.
Wow. I work a lot in Johannesburg with depression. I don't know why, but it just happens that way. So certain people are, you've got to understand the trauma that that person's brain is going through as well. So what I suggest normally when people come to see me, and I check out their medication, and I do have a doctor that I'm working with that has done a lot of mushrooms as well. So he also checks that out. The important thing is to calm them down as much as you can. And what I normally do is put them on a 2-week microdosing. Let them microdose. And it is profound, even though they are taking their medication. It's profound how that little bit of mushroom works right through their medication. And I normally say 2 days before And immediately, straight after, they must go back onto their tablet the very next morning. Because the SSRIs, and we've had very good success where that's concerned. So they do still have an experience. As Monica says, they won't have the full experience depending on what they're on. But I normally suggest they go on to microdosing before they actually come. And I found that it helps them tremendously. Because it's preparing the brain through the medication to the brain that it's going to be okay. And it's also just about really making them feel safe. But for me, it's not difficult because I suffered very badly with that. And that's the reason I do mushrooms today. So I know what their fears are and what they're going through. So from that aspect, definitely that's what I would suggest.
Thank you, Jenny. I also always recommend that you should be working closely with your medical practitioner and follow their advice. And I suppose it'll be maybe flippant of me to say if they're not interested in listening to your comments about psilocybin mushrooms and looking at other modalities, you should find another doctor. But it is difficult for the medical industry at the moment with this work, seeing the results coming out and the difficulty of not being able to openly refer people to a way of working that does help and does make a difference. We're not promising in a Soma retreat that what we do and how we work with mushrooms does heal specific issues and things that come up. That is nearly a side effect. The consequence of making this connection with the divine force through sacred mushrooms, a consequence or a side effect of that is healing of trauma, of addiction, of PTSD, et cetera, et cetera. So we're not promising to deal with that, but always work in advice with your medical practitioner and be open with them. The world has moved on to a point where they're aware of the work that's been done. They're aware of the benefits that's been happened. There is uncertainty, especially amongst some psychiatrists I do know. We have some that journey with us as well that do not necessarily, they're not comfortable even talking in their own circles openly. But as a patient, you definitely should refer to them as well. Because to place that on us, we're not that expert. We don't know the details of your history, etc. So please be as open as you can be with them. Are there any other points that have come up? The typical ending of the meeting starts coming when we start staring at the screen. I know a few people have left, and Carl, I see your hand is up. How can we answer anything for you this evening?
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Thanks, Anton. Maybe just a quick question for Jenny. Jenny, I have a friend that lives up in Johannesburg. Yes. Do you do any retreats up that way? Then he can maybe contact you or?
You're very welcome to. With pleasure. Okay, I work a little bit differently, but you're very welcome.
Okay, thank you, Jenny. And maybe just normal practical question. Monica, I don't know your place and... when we come through, parking is not a problem. You know, can we come through with our vehicles, or do we have to Uber, or what do you suggest?
We send you all the details about what to do with that.
Okay.
Usually, everyone can park on the property, off the street.
Okay.
And if there are more cars than usual, we have a separate parking place very close by, in close walking distance. At the top of the road. So for the sake of our neighbors and to keep the neighbors loving us, we don't want if the neighbors complain, we're going to have problems. So we do all we can to try and keep the street clear of cars, because Saturday is a party night and some of our neighbors are party people. And so then their cars come and fill up the road. And if our cars are filling up the road, then they're going to get fed up with us. So we ask that none of our cars are actually on the road.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Typically a a gathering at Monica's house is a lot less trouble for the community than what any other gatherings typically are. So, Carl, I think a good way, just a reminder, if you could send me an email, I can pass on Jenny's details that way, or maybe she send them to you directly. But if you don't get them, please drop me an email. It's the best way to communicate, and I can pass those details on for you with pleasure. I'm just reading a message on the screen. I think it relates to microdosing, and a question regarding providing microdosing and things like that is also a conversation that we can have via email. The recommendation again is to join a retreat with Monica, to go through that process of starting and calibrating and kickstarting the experience. Jenny has given some advice in the way that she works, but we can talk about microdosing, and I can send some information via email again as well. That's a very good way to work.
Antonio, you have to be good now with the kickstarting. The 5 grams. If you start out with a small amount, or even with microdosing, it takes ages to build up to a level of real effectiveness. Whereas if you have that kickstart, I love that word, it's dead right. If you kickstart with 5 grams, you don't have this long delay before you have very solid results. Can I say, I'm sorry, I've talked too much, but there is something that I think is quite important, is that we do not have expectations about what we want from the experience. That actually obstructs the experience. And the reason for that is that what mushrooms can give you is way in advance of anything that you want. It's as though they know you better than you know yourself. And if you come with the expectations of you want this or you want that other thing, it takes your focus away from what can really happen for you, because mushrooms don't deal with symptoms. They deal with core issues, the root issues. I'll try and stop talking now.
Please don't. We're quite happy for you to stop talking. And you know, Monica, when I mention the word kickstart, I get this big red button in my mind of a big red reset button. Very much relates to that as well. Admin, I have a blue hand up, but I'd love to not call you admin. Could we call you something else?
Which is kind of organizer.
I need you to unmute your microphone. There you go. Oops, let's try again.
One more.
Still muted.
There we go.
Is that okay? I don't know why it's come up as admin. I got a bit nervous and I thought, I know nothing about this. Why they put me down as admin? My name is Lisa. Just plain Lisa. I live in Prince Albert. And my question is, I was going to drive back on the Sunday after the ceremony. And my son Daniel, who's done it a couple of times with you, Monica, has said, no, you can't do that. Can't I do that? Can't I drive back?
You can safely drive by after breakfast on Sunday. Thousands of people have driven home, and some of them very long distance. I don't know what Daniel is thinking. He better phone me and we talk about it. Because I don't know where he got that from. That's never been an issue.
Okay, that's fantastic.
We hold you with us until after breakfast. We won't let you go home, because we want you to be safe on the roads. And that's why we keep you the whole night. There are many people who work in small groups with mushrooms for a few hours, and around about 11 o'clock or midnight, they all go off in their cars and go home. We don't want that to happen. That is not a safe way to be. Please ask that to give me a call.
I'm going to. That's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Rita. Good evening, Rita.
Hi, good evening. I have a question. I would like to hear Monica's view on the difference between a group experience and a one-on-one experience, because that's what I had before.
A one-on-one as opposed to an online experience. I think that's what you mean. One-on-one with a watcher?
No, I've done it with a psychologist, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a therapeutic thing with the psychologist. Mm. Well, that, of course, I can't give an opinion on that because it depends on the psychologist. And it's such a different situation. And I know that that can be very effective and very profound. But I don't think there is anything that can beat a dedicated group of people who come together to work with the same intention, whether it be online or in person, that we come together to work, each of us sharing our energy with each other. There can't be anything more profound in terms of taking us a far distance in one night. Usually a psychologist, I'm interested in the psychologist thing. Maybe that does last all night. I don't know. I know there are psychologists who work with it, but whether they're able to give an all-night experience, that I don't know. I'm not sure if that answers your question, Rita.
It does, it does. And it was a whole night experience. So.
Okay.
He probably learned from you. I'm not sure, actually. Thank you.
Thank you, Rita. Thank you. I'd like to kind of tie in with Monica's answer a little bit, because I've been asked directly about any tips about preparation for trusting, letting go, and being open. And I think that group has got a lot to do with it, especially in the way that we work now. In a preparation for a retreat in Somerset West includes an inclusion to this WhatsApp group that you can communicate with for the 5 days before, getting to know each other and then having the pleasure and the privilege of meeting each other in a physical space as well. But that group is there for you. The online group is there for you to get to know each other in a very heart-opening kind of way. A physical experience, you will connect with people who you think you have known for your whole life. By the time you have breakfast together the next morning, there is a connection that has been shared. And maybe as part of the preparation or advice for the preparation is to take advantage of that group. Be open, trust yourself, hand yourself over to the group, which includes the watchers, and know that in that space, you're going to be safe and held emotionally, physically, spiritually. And that's all you need to trust and let go. And at the end of the day, you're the one doing the work. You're the most important person through this process. Trust yourself, because if you can't trust yourself, then maybe that's who you're there to find. Part of this experience is people can share those stories with you as well. So that's what's come up via text as well. Shirley, I see you have your hand up as well. Please let me hand over to you.
I'm actually Shirley's husband, George. Hello, everybody. I am curious about the role of shaman and what they typically will provide to a psilocybin experience or journey. As far as I understand, teacher plants have sort of grown synonymously with shaman. Just curious to know, particularly around, how many dimensions are there? And while it feels really important to be protected and held in the physical, I'm curious about some of the dimensions that shaman are supposed to be, more versed in and therefore able to hold us in those spaces as well, beyond what what I would say is maybe like a dedicated watcher, loving, dedicated, sincere watcher, may not be able to navigate that space. So I'm just curious about that. And is psilocybin different to other teacher plants? Yeah, I don't know what to do with the rest of that, but that's the question.
Monica, please go ahead. I'm sure I can add to you, but please go ahead as well first.
It's very hard for me to keep quiet. We have no shamans with mushrooms because mushrooms are not a plant. The fungi existed on the earth millions of years before plants came on the earth. So when we work with mushrooms, we work with a very original force that goes beyond any plant thing. I have had an enormous amount of experience with ayahuasca that was very good for me, but we don't have shamans with mushrooms. There is no need. You can go safely wherever you are being taken. As long as you are surrendering, you will be cared for by the wisdom of mushrooms. There is no need for human. We as humans are so small and insignificant compared to the power of mushrooms that no human being, whether we call ourselves a shaman or a pastor or the Pope, we have no power at all to assist you because you don't need it. You have everything that you need to navigate your journey. And that doesn't mean that it's going to be a happy experience. We don't come to mushroom journeys for a happy experience. We don't come to have bliss. We come to have a profound experience that changes our lives and has dramatic difference that becomes permanent. And for that, no human being, the idea of having a human being between a single person and divinity goes back a long history with the churches where there's got to be a pastor or a pope or a someone in between. We don't need that when we work with mushrooms because we can meet directly with that force. And you're safe. You're absolutely safe. There have been so many people coming through our journeys, so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and it's nobody's been hurt. Everyone's still alive and walking and talking. Jenny wants to say something. She's whispering in my ear here.
If I may add to what Monica's saying, I've done about 106 ayahuasca journeys. And the ayahuasca, you need the shaman who's trained in the jungle to hold the space and to, whereas if I may say this rightfully so, the mushroom is the shaman himself. The mushroom will come in and show you your own mirror. He's only going to show you your mirror. It's not going to show you anything else. And it's all about you. And it's that divinity that will take you, whether you're going to go through a very difficult one or you're going to go through a softer one, whatever. But you'll have the wisdom to handle it afterwards. You're going to feel rattled sometimes, but it's only going to show you you. There's nothing outside of you but you. Whereas sometimes, and great respect to shamans, the people coming to journey rely so much on the shaman, they forget to take responsibility of themselves. Mm. And I'm not saying that's all shaman. I had a very good man that I worked with at the time, God bless him. But the mushroom's going to teach you and it's going to show you and guide you in that way.
Yeah. I want to say something else. The very term shaman is a corruption. Mm. The word shaman belongs in Siberia. The true shamans are found in Siberia and nowhere else. That word was hijacked by the Western world and plonked onto the curanderos in Brazil and Peru, in the Amazon. And even the shaman, the so-called shamans, I don't want to use that word. Those people who were doing spiritual work with the plants in the jungle did not call themselves shamans. That was another word that was introduced. How that word became selected, which only belongs to the medicine people in Siberia. And so it became a very popular in-word and broadcast all over the world, a yet another danger in putting a human being in between and needing to give the human being some kind of status when we don't need any status, when we have all the power of the universe, when we start to work, I think, even with ayahuasca. Ayahuasca is not less than mushrooms. It's just a newer source of life in the world than mushrooms. And mushrooms are therefore more reliable and stable in their effect. In my own work with ayahuasca, which I value so much, more than 50% of the time, I had no experience at all. It just didn't work. And I've heard other, I haven't asked everyone the question, but I've heard so many other people say the same thing, that it doesn't always work, but mushrooms always do, because they have this stable, long-term history, and they're not corrupted by the need for some human being to step in who actually knows nothing. All the watchers here will agree that we know absolutely nothing compared to the wisdom of mushrooms.
I just want to add something. Whenever people come to me, the big question is, oh, ayahuasca is better than mushrooms. And I say, no, they are equally powerful for each individual wherever you're at. But what I do say to them, go watch Fantastic Fungi. Once you've watched Fantastic Fungi, you will realize that the other medicines who are also very powerful cannot grow without the mushroom, without the mycelium. So I ask you, that's the question, that's the answer. Have a look at that carefully and you'll see how the entire universe is held up by different forms of mushrooms, giving life back, taking life. So yeah, it's the mushroom for me is, it's only going to show you, nothing else.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica. Thank you, Jenny. Are there any more questions that are out there? Before I hand over to each of the watchers, I'd like to them just to say something in closing. But if there are any questions, no. Let's run through alphabetically again to close off. If we have something short to say, even if it is good night, starting with Anthea and her kitty.
Hi everyone, thank you so much for sharing this time and for asking the questions and just opening your heart to be here, and looking forward to seeing you all somewhere. It's a beautiful gift that you guys can give yourselves, even if it's a little bit scary. Sometimes we've got to be a little bit jittery to really appreciate those amazing rewards. So good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you, Bianca.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for being part of this. And I think the same way as it is when you enter a journey, it's the same way as the preparation towards it. It's all about having the trust that you know best, having the trust that it will be okay, having the trust that you can listen to your body, having the trust to say everything that we give you or that you've been given is a guideline, but trust yourself to make it work for yourself. And I think that's important when you work with mushrooms. So have a wonderful night and a good sleep and a good rest. And hopefully we see you soon on an online journey. So thank you.
Thank you, Bianca. Leon.
Also, just to say thank you to everyone present here tonight. You know, for everyone being here, like I said before, you've got a calling and an interest in psilocybin or in soma. And I always say is to be careful who you share that with, that information that you want to do a mushroom journey or you want to try magic mushrooms or do soma, because a lot of people might just think that you're crazy or that you are, you know, what are you on about? So if it's something quite personal and your curiosity in moving forward with it should be stronger than other people's opinion. So I just like to wish everybody a good night, and yes, we'll see you in at Soma Land or online, hopefully sometime. Good night.
Thank you, Leon. Margie.
Have anything to add except to say it's nice to hear all the questions, and as usual between all the watchers and Monica, it's lovely to hear all this wisdom, so thank you.
Thank you, Margie. Monica and Jenny.
I want to say something to Leon, who is my beloved co-worker. We work so well together in the journeys. I couldn't do without you, Leon, you know that. But, and he warned us against being a bit like happy clappies, newly born, when we've just discovered mushrooms, and that can happen. But I can't resist telling you what happened to Jenny and I when we stopped at a restaurant at breakfast this morning on our way home. I went to the toilet, so I was away like 2 or 3 minutes. And when I got back, Jenny had engaged herself with a family at the next door table in deep, profound conversation about mushroom journeys. And there was a pharmacist among them, and he was very, very interested. And one of the ladies came rushing over with a notebook, wanting her contact details so that she could get in touch. So, Leon, sometimes it works. But I also know that if someone doesn't want to hear, stop talking. Mm-hmm. Only if people ask, if they want to know. And that table that Jenny discovered sitting next to us, that entire table, apart from the two little kids, one little toddlers, that whole table were very, very interested. And I'm so glad you did that.
I was telling them about Monica, by the way.
Oh, were you?
No, he was just a pharmacist. And then he said he's retired. Mm. And I said to him, are you familiar with psilocybin? And he said, what's that? So I said, oh, okay. So I said, it's the active ingredient in magic mushrooms.
Now, I would never do that.
Well, and I just said to him, it's being used. There's a lot of information online about it, and it's really, really sacred, but it's also it helps at the moment in the world with tremendous amount of mental illness and anxiety and that type of stuff. So for me, I'm very happy that we've got that backup, that that's coming through mainstream media, that science is now proving it, as so is, the medical fraternity. And with my experience, it really removes the fear of what's going, the sort of collective fear that's happening out there with everything that's going on with the uncertainty of the world at the moment. So thank you very much for tonight. Thank you very much, Monica. Thank you, Anton and Rady Ann. It's been so lovely to be part of you. I'm very low key. Joburg's a bit of a different place to here. So I'm never really online, and I've never done the online yet, but I honor all of you that do. I work a bit more under the radar, but it's been an absolute blessing. And I loved what Bianca said there. We must trust ourselves. When we come in, it's about really trusting, because that for me, what Soma taught me the most and still is teaching me, how to trust myself and believe in myself. So believe in yourselves and trust in yourselves. Thank you.
So the question I have around this matter of talking about your experience with mushrooms and thinking of this morning's experience in the restaurant is, how on earth, in any other way, would that family have met up and got the information that they got this morning, that we both landed at that restaurant in a tiny little village in the middle of nowhere, where we happened to decide, let's stop and have breakfast here? The magic of mushrooms that brought that family to sit at the table next to us. So we need to have the wisdom of how to work with that and let it flow, because it was quite magical that sitting there in the little dorp, there came a family that sat next to us. And one last thing, Bianca. I say to myself at the beginning of every online journey, I'm going to be like Bianca. I'm going to sit and just watch and show that I'm watching. I'm going to say nothing. But look at me. I could fail every time. But good night, everyone. It was great to see you and be with you. I'm sure some of us are going to meet online or on the and on the 12th also. It's a great work.
Thank you, Monica. Thank you, Jenny. We love you both so much.
And,
thank you for spending time with us this evening. Before we go, I want to check in with Yasmin. Do you want to say hi or bye to us? We're looking forward to seeing you in the real world.
Oh, I miss you guys. My daughter, Jenny, remembers you when we came to Joburg. And she's been sitting and begging, can she just say hello and show the girl that you gifted her with.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And she's got that was the little eight-year-old that took 1 gram, by the way. I've never forgotten. And you got a year.
I don't know if I can blast it out here, but anyways, my kids are all summer babies. I've worked with them from a young age, and it's been magic. They know how to manage the anxiety. They know how to control. They know who they are. It's mm-hmm. just been the most incredible experience for me as a parent and as a watcher, because I think what allowed me to do that was to see that they're just human beings going through the same experiences as us. They're just little people.
Yeah.
And they had the same kind of issues. Going to school is basically the same as going out there in the world. You know, I always say you're going to war. Every time they put on these school bags, it's going to the war field. So coming back home, dealing with all that. So my kids range from 12 right up until 19. And they don't always like it, but they do choose it. They say, you know what, I think I need Soma right now. I just can't work through something. And they know it's not something they can just eat as sweets. Nobody likes it enough to eat it as sweets. they know it's an experience. It's something that they have to really go into depth with. So it's been, it's been quite a beautiful, I feel so blessed. I feel like I can't, you know, I can talk on and rant on about how blessed I am to have experienced this and to have opened up. So I'm happy clappy with Leon. I go around, whoever's open to hearing, you know, and I should be a little bit more reserved with it because I don't know the repercussions. You know, I go around, whoever's around, like just opening it up to my kids, telling people that I just know where it's going to land. So I just hope to keep my intention as clean as possible. So wherever it lands in the right hands or in the right spaces, and nobody trying to protect us from ourselves. But when, you know, when you meet us, we're pretty stable, I think. You know, we're good ambassadors for the mushrooms. We look like normal per day and psycho at night. You know? So that's us. If anybody wanted to have the conversation around it, about children, about yourselves, I'm available. I work with it. I am a trauma and anxiety counselor, so it's part of what I do. It's just, you know, just to allay your fears around it. Because once you do it, you activate your own therapist. You essentially become your own person where you make decisions, you know, where you stop looking outside and you're able to sort of internalize it. So it becomes more, you become more the main character in your story, I would say, as opposed to everyone else, you know, you being the sidekick of your story. Okay, thank you, guys. Thank you for the whatever. I was hoping to chat to Anton and Monica after everybody was sort of, you know, just to touch base, if you guys don't mind.
I can hang on afterwards, and I know Anton and Radiane always do.
All right. So thank you everybody for giving me my voice.
Thank you, Yasmin, and it's such a beautiful voice. From the two of us, Rodianne.
I was just saying to Anton, why did we wait so long to hear you speak, Yasmin? You had such a wonderful thing to share. I think there are probably many more people who had children who needed to hear that story. Mm-hmm. But maybe there's somebody who will go and share the story. Sorry, Leon, far and wide about the possibilities of actually helping your children with mushrooms.
I think that's why I decided to to join today's meeting because I think I need just to kind of go here to say there's so many kids that are coming up asking themselves, please, can we do something more? A lot of kids are put on Ritalin and antidepressants, and the parents are going so the pharmaceutical route, and they're not actually, and this is a natural route, but there's so much fear because of the stigma. And that's all it is, the stigma and the not knowing. And I'm going like, well, I've done it and I've seen the progression and I've done it with a few kids and I've seen the, there's no addiction. You know, there's actually, the word is cure, because there's no such thing. But, you know, so you can actually do so much with Soma. So that's where I'm landing now. I don't know how to sort of open it up, but I think this was the platform to begin, to say, you know what, let me do it next level. And I call all the kids Soma babies, even if you're interested in it, you know, because you're a Soma baby, you there's a calling out there for kids. They know there's something more. And I think when the adults are all on autopilot, the kids sort of take the reins. So, yeah.
Yasmin, you and I have talked about this before in the past. There's one thing we need to be careful of when it's children, is the legal situation with mushrooms. Yeah. That if the children become as excited as we are about mushrooms and they go to school and start broadcasting it around the school and the teachers and the headmasters and what have you, are bound to be some who are really seriously upset that children are having mushrooms simply because they're ignorant. It's not that we're doing anything wrong.
I'm so aware, Monica. I'm so aware of the ramifications. Like I told you, I've got this 16-year-old boy that's so depressed, that's begging to do it. And I don't know, how do you sign? I mean, you can't sign a declaration with a 16-year-old. You know, it's not like they're going to be able to hold it. If they magically feel good, they want to express that. And if people comment on the fact that you've shifted, that means they will say, okay, guess what? Don't tell anybody. So that is where I'm sitting, you know, understanding. I'm in that gap.
It really is a difficult thing. We got into trouble because when the police arrested me the first time, there was a 15-year-old here with her parents.
Mm.
And that caused a lot of trouble, put me in a worse light than if there wasn't a 15-year-old. But I wouldn't do it differently because I believe that 15-year-old had a right to be there.
Yeah. And so.
That's a very profound statement, Yasmin.
I'm away. I have so much. I'm like a river. Drink from me.
Can I just have one last thing, please? I just want to refer back to Leon. Leon has definitely got a point. What happened in the restaurant is I started talking about the little boy. He was running around. So it wasn't I just blasted them with it. But when he said he was a pharmacist and as he said he's retired, he asked, what do we do? And that's when I told him about Monica. And I said, we've come out for a retreat. And then he said, well, what do you do? And that's how I started the conversation. There was an interest. So I said to him, no, we're working with psilocybin, which is also lovely because you can back it up with that. But I do agree with you, Leon, you have to be careful. If it lands on the wrong ears of there's a nasty human being, you know, there's great repercussions that can come with it. It is sacred, and it is it is sacred to each person. So I think it's just about using intuition. And one last thing, I was telling Monica today, I said I never thought I would live to hear science actually saying that the highest form of intelligence is intuition. And what does the mushroom do? It really connects you to your intuition in a very big way. So thank you.
We must be quiet now.
Peace.
Oh, entertaining. Do love the entertainment coming out of Monica's office. It's a magical, wonderful place. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Yasmin. Also, we'll chat more after this. From our side, thank you everybody for being here.
Thank you for arriving. Thank you for showing.
And we do this once a month. We have been doing that for a few months now. So the best way to share information about mushrooms is to share it like mycelium. Let your friends know. If they need more information, they're welcome to join us in a month's time. You all came via a page that that has other dates on there as well. There will be more information sharing events, and there are more places to sign up for retreats with Monica and online, and allow us the opportunity to send you more information. To present in your path, in providing you assistance or a light on the direction that you choose to go. And if you join Jenny or you join someone else in another area, you're welcome to do that as well. I think that's one big thing that's happened in lockdown for me is the awareness of this ability that we have to simply share with everybody what we're doing. We're not holding back. There are enough people on this planet. And if we can, if we were talking about this before, and I want to add this, I know we've been going on for a while, I do want to add it. We spoke about the difference between cannabis and mushrooms and the regulation of the pharmaceutical industry, et cetera, et cetera. And I've made a comparison recently with an awareness of how much hard work it does take to extract cannabis oil and THC, et cetera, et cetera. Where there's a meaning, there's a value. It's a hell of a lot of hard work for those that don't know. So the price of cannabis and cannabis products are always going to remain high. Mushrooms, however, may be quite different. Because ultimately, you can grow mushrooms on quite a large scale. Once you get it right, you can grow it like a button mushroom. And once you grow it like a button mushroom, well, the pricing will also reach the pricing of a button mushroom. And a small grower will be able to grow tons. And within a very short period of time, we'll be able to provide the whole of South Africa and the whole of the world with mushrooms at a cost that no pharmaceutical, no government could care less about. And I think that's an awareness. And that's where I come from, because I don't have much limits in a ceiling of what I imagine can be achieved. And I'd like that to happen quickly, at least in my lifetime. So I wish you all a beautiful, beautiful evening. More information and the link to this recording will be sent to you via email as well. And we really, really look forward to remaining in touch with you and hearing from you and hearing more about your path. So much love from us and much love on your journey ahead. And be good at doing you, because I think that's so wonderful. When you do you, no one else can get you down, and nothing else can get you down. So lots of love this evening, and thank you for joining us.
Good night. Goodbye, everybody. We'll be hanging around, obviously, but
bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.